This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167.
Hello and welcome to The Feed with Amber Mack.
And Michael B. for everything new now and next.
We've been covered for what's happening in the world of tech and what's trending online.
On the show, why YouTube needs to step up to fight the growing problem of misinformation.
Plus, we tell you how Disney is making it possible to meet Mickey Mouse at Disney World in 3D.
Also on the show, why the New York Times is buying The Athletic and what it means for future of news.
And we tell you about an app to help you go from a couch potato to 5K in just a few easy steps.
That's all coming up right here on The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B.
This episode of The Feed is brought to you by Norton, one of the leading consumer cybersecurity brands.
Trending up.
Well, it's a new year, first show for the new year. Amber, are you one of these people? Do you do resolutions?
That is a good question. I think I probably used to, but this year my resolution is just to stay alive, Michael.
Do you know what? That is a high and low barrel in one. I think after the 2 years we've had, that is the best resolution to have, I think, across the board.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we can't put too much pressure on ourselves to try to transform things during such a chaotic time. So I'm okay with just kind of, you know, moving along, staying alive.
Going with the flow. Staying alive.
Going with the flow.
Alive, I get to sing first show. Staying alive. I also have to say that there is a good commitment. I've seen some posts and you've been a backer and a supporter of making sure people are helping support the elderly and elderly care in Canada in regards to COVID, and also a commitment to our footprint and when it comes to the environment.
Yeah. You know, I think that's also something that more and more people are thinking about is just, hey, what are some other things I can change in my life to be able to be more sustainable? How can I give back more to my community? And I think if anything, if we think about the past almost 2 years, I think many of us have seen opportunities where we know there's so many people who are vulnerable and there are so many ways to help. So from that standpoint, hopefully just more of us will continue to do more of that. And I think that definitely is kind of a resolution that makes sense really for everybody in the future. All right, Michael. So I'm going to ask you if you have any resolutions, but I don't even know the answer, and I know you well.
Yeah, so I don't normally do resolutions because you know me very well. I check in with myself and my very close friends regularly all of the time to better myself or get myself pulled into line when I have not been doing the right thing. But I do want to spend more time with family and friends, and I think that's the most important. I've let that slide for a couple of years, not just because of COVID. So I'm actually very excited. I'm spending time with my sister. I haven't seen her for just over 2 years, almost 3 years. And yes, we are in quite a lovely place at the moment. I can't really get to Australia. So we were able to meet halfway. We are in Hawaii at the moment. I apologize for all those people that are in minus 20 degrees and cold and fighting the horrible weather in those instances. But it's really good to see her. I really can't wait. I really want to be able to see my dad this year. He turned 70.
Wow.
And close friends. I want to spend more quality time, not, you know, at a lunch where I'm checking my phone or working 24/7. I think I've always worked all the time. I want to do less of that and more quality time with quality people, I think would be my goals.
Yeah, I think that's a fair goal. And I think you're right. You know, we all missed out on so much time with friends and family that I do feel like we're going to be making up for it in the months and years to come. So absolutely important. So we just have a few minutes in terms of getting to some of the headlines. Unsurprisingly, as we kick off 2022, there are lots of big stories. This first one is from CNN Business, where they've reported that more than 80 fact-checking organizations have called out YouTube's insufficient response to misinformation. And this is pretty fascinating in the sense that there's just dozens and dozens of these organizations that have said basically that there's a plethora of online disinformation and misinformation on YouTube, and the company needs to do something to address this issue. And who knows what's going to happen, but, you know, we've seen in the past year and a half how much of this content that it contains a lot of things that tend to be untrue tends to travel around the internet.
What I found surprising was, when I saw this headline, I thought about all of the organizations that made headlines in regards to misinformation in 2021, and it wasn't really YouTube front and center. And it was interesting that this is now coming out, and they have just as much of a problem as the other ones that we report on, especially poor Facebook, now Meta, is probably on the top of everyone's mind when it comes to misinformation and the spreading of misinformation. But also, in fairness, we also see the headlines of what Facebook is trying to do to combat it, and they're under scrutiny. So it is good that if there is misinformation being spread, that, you know, now it's YouTube. And I feel like YouTube is a company that will do something about it and move swiftly. I hope I am right, because I do find a lot more people watching, using, and viewing YouTube videos now more than ever compared to other platforms, especially long form content. I noticed it whenever I walk past young people. I sound so old. When I walk past young people on the street, they're just sitting there scrolling through YouTube and TikTok and just watching stuff. And it's mostly TikTok and YouTube, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's my son does it at 12, so I totally get it. We just have a couple more minutes, so I want to get through these next stories quickly. The New York Times has announced that they are buying The Athletic for $550 million in cash. This is a big deal, and I think, you know, we can just keep this one quick, but basically this will help them reach their goal of 10 million subscribers ahead of the schedule that they have in place. And again, when we think about the future of news, it goes to show you how important subscriptions are. I think it means that kind of walled garden that we see now with so many news organizations will continue to exist. And this is big news in the news world. Michael, just quickly, we have one last story and about a minute left. Let's talk about the smart gun story. Certainly not an insignificant headline.
Yeah. So the reason why I thought this was interesting to mention was the smart guns. We haven't really talked about it before, but basically it gives the ability to only recognize certain people to be able to use them. And I thought that this was an interesting way to combat or tackle some of the issues when it comes to gun violence and misuse of weapons like this. And so I thought this was an interesting way to see that smart guns look like they could be finally being able to be used in the US. And I just thought that was interesting because we haven't heard from smart guns for quite some time, the development and the technology itself.
Very interesting. Probably need more time to talk about that. But nonetheless, we got to move along, and we're going to talk about robots next.
We certainly are. When we return, how a robot is lending a helping hand in the world of elderly care.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Techstar.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mank and Michael B. Now, at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in 2022, there were a lot of advances in robotics on display. Now, especially in elderly care, Labrador Systems is one of the companies in attendance showcasing their robotic cart. Now, it's offering assistance for elderly users and people with limited mobility. Mike Dooley is the co-founder and CEO of Labrador Systems, and he's joining us now to tell us all about it. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. Really happy to join.
So let's start with the origin story of Labrador Systems and how you guys decided to focus on this type of technology for elderly care in the beginning.
So it started with actually seeing my mom progress from walking by herself to starting to use a cane, going to use a walker, and then eventually into a wheelchair. And she's still around. She's 91 years old. But what I noticed was once you're in that situation where you're using your hands to stabilize yourself, so you're using a cane or a walker, even at that level, even just initially, your hands are becoming your extra pair of legs. And moving things while moving yourself gets progressively more difficult. It's hard to sort of carry like a full load of laundry, or even just carrying a cup of coffee back and forth to my dad and doing that safely. They were the real origin was that they came out to visit us for a month, and just seeing my mom drop stuff and struggle, and then seeing that progress. And that was sort of the inspiration for this being this, like, she really could be using an extra pair of hands to both be able to do more, but also do it more safely. since then, it's a lot more people. Like a lot of our audience and the people that we test with, they don't use a cane or walker. Others have or have other issues where they may be in a wheelchair full time. But the core issue is either pain, a health issue, or something else is interfering with your daily activities. And we're trying to make a platform that helps you do more, be more independent, and have more control over your environment.
I'm curious, I've been speaking a lot about the future of robots, and a few years ago, I had a chance to dive into the government of Japan's robot strategy, which had said that by the year 2020, 4 out of 5 care recipients would be taken care of in part by robots. And I've always found that here in North America, we are kind of slow to adapt. Is this what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, I think there's two trends happening. I think that one is just a massive need for caregivers. Japan is probably the most extreme, but then you have Europe and the U.S. isn't far behind. So the situation is, I think it's the segment 85 plus is the fastest growing part of our population. And the number of folks that are 65 plus is going to be outstripping the folks that are available to care for them as folks get older. So that's happening everywhere. And they call it the silver tsunami or the longevity market, but it really is it's something we're not equipped to deal with. With the robotics, that was the goal for Japan. I really doubt that they're there right now, because I think the initial attempt was trying to do more advanced robots that could replace what caregivers are doing. And I think that what we saw at the show, and if folks visit our website, we have a different take on that. We're really not trying to replace caregivers. We're really trying to either let people be more independent on their own, be more active before they need caregiving, and also extend the impact of caregivers if they are involved in someone's life.
It's interesting that point on giving them more, giving them more dependence, or letting them have dependence for a little bit longer. I remember when I was younger, I worked in an elderly care facility, and it was interesting. They were a little hesitant of strangers or people coming into their homes or their rooms if they don't know them. How does it go, or how do they go with, say, this robotic cart? Is there any hesitation or worry? Because obviously sometimes people don't understand the technology. And if you're older, how does it work? And you know, is it watching me or listening? I know it's those silly questions, but you know, some people think like that. They don't go straight to how is this benefiting me and enhancing my life and making it possible, you know, to stay in my home longer, for example.
Yeah, I think first off, there's just a lot of diversity. If you look at folks that are 65 plus, like I'm getting close to that age myself. I'm like within a decade now. For one, I think that there's a lot of technology acceptance. Like when we were first doing the study, we were doing interviews with people over the phone, and we're benchmarking like the robot versus something like Roomba versus Alexa. And I was trying to explain to them 5 years ago what Alexa was, and they go, I already have one. So I think that's one thing, is to be humble about where people are on that technology curve. For folks that may, like my mom doesn't want to use a screen device, we have an ability just to, you know, have like a simple button you hit click, and there's no other complexity to it. On bringing a technology, so the product, the brand's called Labrador, the product's called the Retriever, and the idea of the Labrador Retriever is to be this very comfortable device inside your house. It doesn't look like a robot. It doesn't have a face, doesn't have arms. It looks more like a piece of furniture, and it's specifically designed to be low, to fit next to someone on the side, and be just there when they need it to be. And we find that people find that extremely friendly. Like in our pilot studies, we placed the robot for 5 to 8 weeks in people's homes, and we're seeing usage as high as 100 times per month, just out of the gate without us asking people to do anything with it. And some people, I ask them, like, what percent of the time is the robot next to you? Because she's keeping her cell phone and her glasses and other things next to it. It's about 60% of the day. So we have a very different take, something that's very comfortable, that could be your bedside table at night, that can go over and carry your laundry later in the day, or help you set the table, be that extra pair of hands, and really focus on making first people that it just enhances their quality of life. And that seems to cut across all ages and tech levels when we do that.
It's so amazing. And just because I make fun of Michael all the time, Michael, do you get it? Labrador Retriever?
I totally get it. You know what? I didn't until halfway through. I'm not gonna lie to anybody listening. Halfway through, I think, oh my God, that makes total sense.
It makes perfect sense. We do want to ask. We don't.
And it's a retriever. Sorry.
Yeah, yes. You get it. It's slowly coming together. We do want to ask in terms of just sort of painting a picture for people to understand how the retriever is operated. So, you know, obviously we're looking at pictures, but for people who aren't, can you describe how, you know, a person would move the retriever around, how much it costs, what that process is like?
So once it's trained, and we'll start by doing the installation as a company, and then we'll provide other options. But what we do is we set it on a series of bus stops, and the bus stops are the places you want it to go. So you could have a bus stop by the kitchen sink, by the refrigerator. Some people put like multiple in their kitchen because they are using it in different spots, you know, if they're cooking versus cleaning or loading the dishwasher. But you basically then, once it has bus stops, you can send it to those locations. And you can do it through a variety of ways. You could do it from your phone. And if you click like armchair on a screen on the app on your phone, the robot will autonomously drive to the armchair. It parks next to it within a few inches, and it lowers or raises based on the height that you have. So like if you're in the kitchen, and kitchen counters are around 36 inches and a little bit over a meter or about that. But in that range, the robot will raise up. So it's right at countertop level. And then let's say you put your tea and other things for having a snack or other stuff. And you can just, the robot's there, say, you know, go to the living room or go to the armchair, and the robot will autonomously navigate and then park and lowers itself so it's in the right position there. And those bus stops are really simple. When we worked at our prior companies like iRobot, the people that make Roomba, we learned to keep things just very simple. And so whether you're using a phone, you could use Alexa and command the robot to go from place to place, or even just that we'll make an accessory that'll be like a button. And my dad could just have a button next to his armchair and click it, and the robot will always go to that position. In terms of the pricing, we're offering a special early reservation for the product. Probably the best thing to do is go to our website. It's labradorsystems.com, Labrador like the dog, systems with an S. So if you go to labradorsystems.com, you'll see the product. But what we're trying to do for those early reservations is that it's a subscription, and there's an upfront payment of about $1,500, and then it's a monthly payment for 36 months. And the base model is $99 a month. The deluxe model is $149 a month. And after that process, you own it. So there's more details on our website, but we're trying to get this down to be as affordable as it can be. And then we're also going to be testing with insurance companies for folks that might be able to get additional support for that.
Great. Well, listen, we want to just thank you so much for joining us on the feed, and we can't wait to watch how this rolls out, no pun intended, in the future.
Yes, that's great. No, thank you so much. We really appreciate being able to explain it to folks.
Up next, how to track healthier habits in less than a minute a day.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167. Aptastic.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. It's time now to take a look at some new and trending apps. And since it is a new year, we do want to talk about an app that will help you if you want to start running. I know a lot of people have been setting this as a goal for the year. And this is an interesting one. So it's basically a 5K running trainer app that says it will help you get from the couch to 5K in 8 weeks. And I do believe that this is possible, Michael, because I was not a runner. And in 3 months of training, I ran a marathon and I stuck to the training. It's amazing what you can do when you actually stick to a program.
100%. And do you remember like years and years ago, you and I, we went running in Florida at your parents' place. And we're like, oh, let's just go for a little run. And I'm like, oh, let's just go to the pier. And it was so funny because we hadn't done really anything for a few days exercise wise. And it really did kind of knock us out. And so I think something like this, we could have started with. It's like a little bit.
Yeah,
and then
I do
the
remember
next day,
that.
Go a little bit further and then a little bit further. And obviously I innately chatter as I'm running. You're like, what is wrong with you? So I think this is brilliant. The best thing about this is it is a program to stick with what works for you to build up. And I think that's the most important thing. It is well recognized. It's the only app that I've seen that's approved by Google, where Samsung, Fitbit, and it's been featured in so many, put through the ringer for a test of, you know, how well does it actually get you moving to the point where you are running distance that you didn't think you could run before. And that incremental component is really important. So an excellent app, starting small to build up to those longer and bigger goals.
Yeah, it's interesting too. It's called the official C25K app, but it's known as the Couch to 5K program. So I just want to tell people that when you're actually searching for it in your app store, it has a pretty long name, but you'll eventually find it when you kind of search for that Couch to 5K, because they're the ones who have been known to be focusing on that length of training. And it really only takes, I think they do it, they suggest you run 3 times a week, about 30 minutes each time, whether that's a combination of walking and running. And like you said, Michael has had a lot of great success stories in terms of being able to help people with that goal.
Yeah, and it's really is focused on that inexperienced runner who is beginning. And the idea of and the structure of this whole thing is to ensure they don't give up and to keep moving, you know. And so I think that's really important, because obviously when we try and start new things after 3-4 times, most likely if it starts to get difficult and we don't have the motivation, then a lot of people do tend to give up. So really need apps to keep us moving for the new year. Another one we'd like to tell you about. This one is really neat. You only have to invest less than a minute daily to track, identify, and change your habits with this app. It's called Way of Life Habit Tracker app. So all the apps today we've got is to help start new habits and become a little bit healthier and a little bit more mindful of what you're doing every day. So I know it's very difficult, as we just said, from an exercise perspective, but obviously eating is important, making sure we're eating well, making sure that we're getting enough sleep, we're avoiding sugar, all these things that are habits that we can get into that are bad. This app helps you break the bad habits and track and reward yourself with new habits, good habits.
Yeah, very cool. And I think this is iPhone only, if I'm correct on this one. And the way that it works is it essentially helps you kind of look at different graphs. So if you see that you've been doing well, it's green. And if you're not, it's red. So it's kind of, I don't want to say it's idiot proof, but it does look like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the best thing is, as you said, like you're tracking your habit and you're like almost like winning streaks. So you'll see if you're on a winning streak. And then I think obviously from if you're very competitive, you don't want to break that. So I guess that's an encouragement to not break that and continue the good habit. So it's got all those little things built into the app as well. And it's got a scoreboard that you can see either instantly or weekly, monthly. It gives you that feedback. Lots of different things to keep you motivated, depending on how you react, whether it's, as you said, through charts or a big red, you're not doing good, or positive. And you're like, oh, look at that. I've got a winning streak.
It's very cool. Okay. So we have one more that is a good pick, especially if you are interested in, I don't want to say improving your life, but having goals. And this one is focused a little bit more on keeping a journal. So it's called Day One Journal. And it's also an award-winning app available for iPhone and Android devices. And basically, it's a way that you can keep track of any traveling that you've done. It acts as a memory journal. It can help you create good habits as well, and really preserve any moments that are important in your life. This is fun because, you know, there was a time where people used to keep diaries and that was a real thing, or journaling, as we know, is really good for you in terms of your self-care. So, Michael, I love this idea that this is a way that we can get back to this concept of journaling. And you know, a lot of that positive reinforcement can help you just feel better, right? Wellness is a priority for so many people. And they may think, okay, I have to run or I have to do this to get there. But sometimes it's just having an outlet for your thoughts and your experiences as well.
and a safe outlet for your thoughts, because I don't know anybody listening, but if they were a kid and they would write something as a kid in your journal or your diary, and then you would have to like physically, and you'd hide it somewhere in your room, and you'd hope to God nobody found it and read it. So at least in this instance, no one's cracking your password and getting in there to read it. Or if they did, that's a lot of work. So I like this idea, a very safe and secure way for your thoughts. It is a great idea to write down how you're feeling and what you're doing. The best thing about this app is it pulls out all of the positiveness. So it will pull out good memories that you've had in the past to remind you, and it will help you recall details of certain things that you've entered. So it does help kind of piece things together, because a lot of people write journals to do that, to understand what they're doing well, what they're not, how to improve themselves. So I like this idea where it's adding that extra layer of helping, kind of full circle, bringing your life together, making it make sense, because it's just a great, great way at the end of the day, maybe, to put down what was a high point, low point.
I have to say that when I was a teenager, I think I was 15, and I had my own little diary, and my mom found my diary, and I was using emojis before they became popular. And so I would write in emojis, like I would make up all these emojis.
Oh, like code.
Yes, I thought it was really smart code. Meanwhile, my mom thought I was out kind of robbing banks with guns and hanging out with drug dealers, because my emojis were so cryptic and random. I had to convince her that's not what they meant. So, yeah.
You're not a leader of a gang that's doing something in the local.
No, it was an awkward time.
That is actually the best thing I've ever heard. Okay, so three great apps to help you for 2022. We've got the C25K, the 5K running trainer app. We've got the Way of Life habit tracker app. If you're not a code maker or code breaker, we've got the Day One Journal app. Three great apps to check out. Now, of course, if you've got an app, gadget, or product you think we should check out, tweet us at AmberMack and at MBancroft80 and use the hashtag The Feed. Coming up, we learn about the latest in wearable rings.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. In the Spotlight.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. More from CES 2022, but this time we are focusing on health with the Movano Ring. Now, it's packed with fitness sensors, which is going to be tracking activity, sleep, heart rate, respiration, temperature, blood oxygen, and a whole lot of other metrics. John Mastrototaro is the CEO of Movano, and he's joining us now. John, that's a lot packed into a tiny little ring. Let's start with why a ring specifically, and targeting or going after the female consumer to start with?
Well, first off, we feel like women have been very much overlooked in the wearable device market to date. And because we're going after women who have been overlooked, despite the fact that they're dealing with all the same health issues as men, and in many ways more, we wanted to put it into a ring form factor at first, which may be more appealing to that audience. And we're designing it to look more like jewelry so that a woman enjoys wearing the product and likes the look and feel. And we think that by having that look and feel, they'll also benefit from wearing the device and benefiting from the technology it provides.
It looks super cool. And I hate to ask you to do this because I know it's not easy to describe the look of it and what it's made of. But just for our audience who's listening right now, how would you describe it? What was the inspiration for this shape, which is so unique?
Well, we worked with some jewelry designers who are female, and we tried to develop something that was elegant, that could be worn in most situations for women. And it had some nice curves and shape to it and different colors. That was just generally appealing.
Let's unpack the ring itself with regards to what it's tracking, why it's important, and how does that work? Why is it important to track that and then include that into our daily lives of thinking how to be healthier and work out exactly what all that data means?
Well, I'd say this. In a general sense, I think about four things when you think about someone's overall health. I think about the food they eat, the level of activity they get in a day, how well they sleep, and their mental health. And when we're looking at the measures that we're collecting, as you mentioned before, heart rate variability, sleep, respiration, activity, temperature, et cetera, we can do a pretty good job of assessing the bulk of those, a little bit less on nutrition, although we're working on a future generation that includes glucose and also includes blood pressure in the future. And one thing that's really important to us is helping people understand the correlations between their lifestyle and how it affects their health. So if someone starts exercising more, we may see in their data that their resting heart rate gets lower, and that's a good thing for heart health. And those types of benefits can lead to people not having a risk for hypertension or high blood pressure in the future. So we want to describe that to the consumer, help them understand how activities in their life affect their health, so they can make more informed decisions and be empowered to oversee their well-being.
I'm really curious because I've used a number of different smart bands, but I'm curious in this form factor, what is unique about a ring? Why does that make sense? Is there something advantageous about wearing a ring versus another device?
Well, we've noticed that when you're placing one of the sensors that are used to make the measurements on the finger versus the wrist, you need fewer sensors to be able to interrogate the blood vessels and get accurate measures. So in a band, you may need more sensors to do that, to make sure that you're localizing a vessel to make the measurement of. And so I think for that reason, the finger is a good site and the ring makes sense. Also, I just think that for a lot of women, they would prefer to wear a ring versus a band, although in the future, we will be developing a band as well. But we wanted to start with a ring to show, you know, just the scale of what we can do with miniaturizing the technology.
It's interesting that you're looking to try and capture glucose and blood pressure. That's difficult, my understanding, from a technology perspective to do. How do you go about doing that and the studies behind that to ensure the accuracy?
Well, it's incredibly difficult. I've spent most of my career developing devices for people with diabetes, and actually led the team that developed the first continuous glucose monitoring product that was cleared by the FDA in 1999. And so I've been in this space a long time. It is not easy to pull out signals specific for glucose in terms of the glucose measure, but we have a very interesting radio frequency technology that has some appeal and some ability to discern changing glucose levels. And we're conducting clinical trials over time to provide the data that allows us to create algorithms that can tease out a glucose signal from what we're monitoring. In the case of blood pressure, we can see pulse pressure waveforms from what we measure, which we're working to correlate to the blood pressure as well. And as we're all aware, glucose or diabetes and hypertension with high blood pressure, those two conditions combined cost us one of every five healthcare dollars we spend in the United States today. So these are big problems that affect a third to a half of our population through their lifetime, and is something that we really need to try to address moving forward.
This is amazing. I'm excited for what's next in this space. Just before we let you go, I'd love to hear from you when the ring might be available, just a time frame. And I realize you probably have a few steps before it will hit the market.
Well, we plan to launch our first beta release later this year. And then in parallel with that, we're also will be conducting some clinical studies to gain data that would be commensurate for an FDA filing for some of the measures. It's very important to us to have medical grade data, because ultimately this may be something that's beneficial for folks in the healthcare space to use with their customers in providing medical grade accurate data in terms of heart rate, respiration, PO2, glucose in the future, blood pressure, and also some other diagnoses capability that we're planning to add in the product. So it's an exciting time for us, for sure.
Very cool. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be excited to have you back on to talk more about this in the future.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Up next, Mark Saltzman joins us to talk about the biggest TV in the world.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Power Friend.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. As we have been talking about, the annual Consumer Electronics Show has recently wrapped in Las Vegas. And we are so excited to talk now with Mark Saltzman. And I have to say, I'm especially excited, Mark, because I get you all to myself. And we've been teasing
Michael's
this
like,
big...
I'm out of here.
I know, right? And I know he's excited because we've been teasing this big screen TV throughout the show. So let's start there in terms of what we saw this year at CES. And the biggest TV in the world?
The biggest OLED TV, yeah. So, I mean, we saw some bigger ones that are more micro LED technology or quantum dot, as you may have heard, or QLED. But LG showed the world's largest OLED TV at 97 inches. Now, OLED are those televisions. They are available now, smaller sizes, but these are the ones that are super thin because no backlighting is required. Every dot or pixel that makes up the image is self-illuminating. So if you want to show like perfect blacks, the TV just turns off that pixel, right? Or that collection, the cluster of pixels. Unlike other technologies that always have a light behind it. So that's why these are ridiculously thin that you can like hang on a wall. So they're light as well. So this is the 97 inches part of the gallery or G2 series that's coming out this year. They also showed an 83 inch, but bah. Who needs an 83-inch? You know, come on. You know, I'm not slumming it here. No, just kidding. But yeah, should you have the wall size and wallet size to support it? They did not announce how much it's going to be, but obviously it's going to be a premium price. Very interesting. And then some of their cool smart TV technologies is like the ability to tap your phone against the side of the TV. It's called NFC Magic Tap, and it mirrors your phone. Immediately. Cool. Yeah, which is neat. Or the ability to stream content from one TV in your home to another. So that's kind of neat. And LG also showed what they call their Objet TV. Sounds very fancy. Objet. And it's covered in fabric. So when you're not watching it, it can become part of your room decor when it's fully covered. Or you can have it partially open and have like weather and time and things like that shown. But there's like a button on the remote to cover it with fabric and have it blend into the room itself. I know you've been on my show, Amber, to talk about other TVs that also take that into consideration. Like, what does it look like even when it's off?
Yeah.
So that's a trend that we're seeing across the board.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think people want more and more kind of that aesthetic where it blends into the room and they don't want... this technology. Yeah, it's just nothing that people want when they think about home decor.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk next about a smaller screen that is getting some attention. This might be more affordable for some people and more portable.
Yeah, that's right. On both fronts. So I think you're referring to the ThinkBook Plus Gen 3 from Lenovo. That is the world's first laptop with a 17.3-inch ultra wide screen. So the primary display is big, but it has a secondary display. So it's got an 8-inch touchscreen just to the right of the keyboard. So that lets you do things like engage in a Zoom call on your main screen, but take notes on the side screen digitally, and then it'll transcribe your handwriting into text. And that includes a stylus or digital pen with the laptop as well. Or if you're an artist, you're a digital artist or an animator or what have you, you can do your work on the smaller screen and see your work. Like, when's your palette, when's your canvas? Kind of thing. Or you're a math student or an accountant or a bookkeeper, that secondary screen could be a calculator. So it's very versatile. It can also mirror your smartphone. They fold in, because it's the same company now, Lenovo folds in some Moto technology, some Motorola tech, that where you put your phone by that secondary screen, and then now all of a sudden your iPhone or your Android is mirrored on that device. So that's kind of neat. What I really like about this, Amber, and it's not just this ThinkBook, but all of them going forward, is that they're going to have this technology called Privacy Alert. So if you're using your laptop in public, say you're at an airport or you're in a coffee shop or in a hotel lounge or lobby, what it can do is notify you because of the web camera. It'll notify you if someone's looking over your shoulder. It'll say, hey, someone, like, you're basically going to see a flashing icon that warns you that somebody is looking at what you're typing, which I think is really neat. So that's going to be baked into this laptop. Again, it's supposed to come out in the spring. They don't have a price yet that they're that they're publishing. But like most of the tech we're talking about today, it's coming down the road. So they are wary about giving prices ahead of time for competitive reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have about 3 minutes left and we do want to get to some home tech. You and I have talked over the years a little bit about tech for the bathroom or the kitchen. This is a cool one, especially as we kind of live in a touchless society.
Yeah, why don't we do both of those rooms? Starting in the kitchen, the Moen Smart Faucet with motion control is pretty neat. So like its predecessor, you can wave your hand to start and stop the flow of water. But what they showed at CES last week was the ability to control temperature with a gesture. So you swipe to the left for hot, swipe to the right for cold. I don't know. It's like tender, maybe. I don't know. Or swipe down for warm. And then that's kind of neat. And then if you have a smart speaker nearby, you can use your voice to not only ask for a specific temperature, but a desired volume as well. So let's say you're baking and it calls for 2 cups of cold water. Put, you know, a measuring cup underneath or a pot, even underneath that spout, the faucet, and ask for that verbally. And that Moen faucet will dispense exactly what you ask in terms of the amount and the temperature. That's really neat. And then going from the kitchen to the bathroom, finally, 2022 is the year where you don't have to manually floss anymore, thanks to technology. I've been lying to my dentist for years. I know he knows I am. But the Philips Sonicare Cordless Power Flosser was this kind of like surprise hit last week, where you can use this device. It's kind of like a handheld. There's a cordless model and there's one that's not, but the idea is the same, is that it has this like proprietary quad stream technology. So it shoots this like X-shaped stream in and around your teeth. And Philip says that it'll clean 9 times the area in 60 seconds, then, like, you know, doing it manually, or it's up to 99.9% of plaque removal and all that. So I love that because I hate taking out that dental floss, breaking it off, and then doing it. I always say I'm going to do it and I never do. So this looks a lot better. And there's different settings and like 2 different modes and 3 different intensity settings.
Very cool. Yeah, no, it's amazing how far we've come when we talk about, you know, whether it's a flosser or a toothbrush, all the technology.
Yeah, it's important. You know, it's important for the whole picture, your physical health, your mental health. Like, it's all tied together, I think.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have about 30 seconds or so left, so I know you can do this one. Automotive tech, yeah. Because we saw a lot of that.
Let's end off, on the much-hyped Chevrolet Silverado EV. So this was officially unveiled by Mary Barra, the CEO of GM, at CES. It is going to have a range of up to 640 kilometers on a single charge, like on a full charge. And that leverages GM's Ultium platform that also supports discharging up to 350 kilowatts. In plain English, if you're in a rush and you're out with this pickup truck that's electrified, you can charge up your truck in 10 minutes. You'll get up to 160 kilometers of range, which is wild. So that's coming late in 2023, but reservations are open now for the 2024 Chevy Silverado EV. The worst kept secret. Everybody knew going into CES they were going to announce it, but it's really cool though.
It's super cool. I mean, that range is incredible. You know, it's almost, you know, 2 times what you would see in some of the electric vehicles that are out today. Mm-hmm. Very cool, Mark. We want to encourage people to follow you online. You are the busiest man in the technology world. And we want to thank you so much for joining us today on the feed. And hopefully you get some rest after a busy CES season.
Thanks so much, Amber. Always great to chat with you.
All right, so up next, how to keep your new tech safe and secure in 2022.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167. Socially Speaking.
It's time now for Socially Speaking. Before we get into our topic about Disney World and the Metaverse, I wanted to mention that this cybersecurity tip is brought to you by Norton. Maybe you've unboxed that brand new device. Maybe it's a smartphone, a laptop, a smartwatch, or a smart TV, and you can't wait to use it. But before you open up that new tech gadget and becomes part of your day, consider the following 5 tips to help maintain your security and online privacy. First up, make sure your home's Wi-Fi router is secure before letting your new devices connect to your home network. Second up, when using a device outside your home, avoid unsecure public Wi-Fi. We've talked about this a lot before in the past. Or set up an extra layer of protection with a virtual private network, also called a VPN. Third is use Touch ID or Face ID to add biometric security to your device. And number 4 is Create a new Strong Lock passcode as well as a strong, unique passcode for all of the applications that you're going to use on your new device. And finally, number five, install device security software to help ensure your device is protected against hackers and threats like malware. Now, Norton 360 makes it easy to stay protected on your phones, computers, and tablets with continuous uninterrupted device protection. No one can prevent all cybercrime or identity theft, but Norton 360 is what I trust to help protect my devices and my family's devices against cyber threats. For more information, visit Staples in store or online. Okay, guys, we are going to talk about the metaverse, Mickey Mouse, Disney World. This is a fun conversation because Michael said something in our year-end special of 2021 that stuck with me, which was a conversation about the future of virtual reality and augmented reality, and making a note that who really wants to walk around with goggles or glasses on their face all the time? And so I thought it was worth having this conversation about this new technology that Disney has recently patented that will allow them to project 3D images on real world objects that could be personalized for each guest. So you wouldn't need to have that headset on. Michael, I know you're excited to jump in, but Aaron, Aaron, I'm going to let you go first because I don't know if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland, but instead of walking around with goggles or glasses, what do you think of this idea where you have that personalized 3D experience?
I haven't been to Disney World or Disneyland since the 2000s began. I have not been this millennium. I was only in the previous millennium. But I do think that, you know, a place that is, you know, technological and wonder, I think this is a cool idea, especially for kids and families going there to get personalized. I assume they track maybe some kind of smart wristband. I know a lot of parks have that these days. Again, I haven't been to one in a while. But to personalize a projection tracking you and your family or your kids via a smart wristband or what have you, I think it's a pretty cool idea. And I just wonder if Disney brings it into the parks first, if that's kind of like testing the waters for this to be break out of the amusement park usage, like maybe shopping malls or sports stadiums or things like that, to have personalized projections put up.
It is magical. This is all I have to say. This is a magical world of Disney. You know what, Aaron? Even Amber's parents have been to Disneyland or Disney World. This millennium, actually, fun fact. But it is, I think that this is absolutely fantastic. I am glad you found this because, yes, I 100% would be into this. And I think that the experience of walking along with, hey, Michael, how are you? That's my best Mickey Mouse. Walking around in the park with me would be the best thing in the world. I've been there where you use this app and you do an adventure. I've used their augmented reality before technology you can use. We were walking around and it was like for the actual map instead of taking a paper map. And we did an adventure thing. And this was with my mom, by the way, as a grown adult. It was super fun. So this I see completely. I would be on board with this. And you have to remember, Disney has so many different divisions. The amount of patents they file and the amount of technology, technological advances they do that then end up in so many other industries, which was kind of what you were alluding to, Aaron, what could happen based on this type of technology is incredible. And I think we take that for granted. It is quite an innovative company when it comes to technologies and, you know, moving it forward for scale and consumer usage.
Yeah, I think it's cool too. And also, I think, Michael, you said a key word there, and I think we're all in agreement that we are going to Disney World to do a special episode of The Feed. That's all I heard.
We are. Oh, my God. I'm glad you said it because I don't want to, like, you know, beat a drum, whatever,
it
over the head or whatever the saying is.
So much fun. And I think that
I'm going to make that happen for you. Can I just tell you? That is my pledge. This year, 2022, I will make it happen. The Feed from Disneyland. Disney World.
Disney World. It's okay. Yep. Once you figure it out which one is which.
California, Disneyland, Disney World, Florida. Got it. Carry on.
Okay. So I'm going to ask Aaron this because he also has a kid the same age as my little guy. And Aaron, maybe they're a little bit too old, but can you imagine the joy and excitement if they were to go to Disney World for the first time or Disneyland and they walk by, say, you know, a character that they love who basically said hello to them and said their name? You know, that to me would be kind of, an example of sort of magical technology. What do you think of that? Like, how would your son react?
Yeah, he's getting old and jaded, but I think certain things would still impress him, even if it's not Mickey and Donald and Goofy, some of the Disney classics. If they incorporate this, I hate to put it in these terms, in other parts of intellectual properties that they sprinkle around the park, like Marvel characters or Star Wars characters, I know my son would freak out if Black Panther or Ant-Man could talk to him from a screen and say hello to him.
Yeah, so cool, right? I mean, and that's the thing. I think, you know, Michael said this, as I mentioned, but you talked a little bit about kind of that magic of Disney World, and that's what they're known for, is creating these magical experiences. But then you get kids that are kind of jaded and maybe feel like they've seen everything, and all of a sudden you can bring them through an experience like this where it is so personalized, and then you see how Disney continues to maintain its hold on the hearts of families all around the world to experience this. Michael, we only have 60 seconds left, but just because I feel like you are waiting to tell the story, when was the last time you were at a Disney property? What was it like?
It was amazing. Do you know what? It was in probably... I think we went to visit you in Florida and your parents. And I drove with my mom. We went to NASA first because she's always wanted to be an astronaut as a kid, and she never thought she'd go to NASA. And then she's always wanted to go to Disney World. So I did it in my 30s because now I'm 41, I think. But it was in the last 5 or 6 years. It was absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed it. We went to two of the worlds. And what I love about this is I love Jungle Cruise, and we went on the Jungle Cruise. Could you imagine if you got into the boat and Proxima, the Jaguar, jumps up like on you in the boat and it's like, and says a line? That would just be wicked. I have so many things that this could be useful for and be cool. You could scare the kids, but in a fun way. Like, you could bring the jungle to life.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Aaron, I'm so excited.
Aaron said we were out of time. He didn't say it out loud, but I know he's thinking it. And I would have to agree. And I do want to say that this technology will not be at a Disney property for some time. They're just kind of getting the patent for it. But we are going to be there, and that would be super fun. Let us know what you think across social media about this idea. And thanks so much for being with us. And remember, you can tweet at us at Amber Mac and at mbancroft80. And please use the hashtag TheFeed.
This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.